The lesson this evening is from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 18. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God.
I keep forgetting. I don't need these anymore. Sometimes I get so used to them that I just think I have to use them. You'll have to forgive me. It hasn't been that long since Jesus healed me, and I'm just not used to it yet. I'd be wearing fancier clothes, but I just found a job. Before, I could beg. But now that I'm well, I can't very well beg. No one wants to give money to a beggar who can earn money for himself. So that's another thing I had to learn when Jesus healed me. I had to learn how to walk. After all, I've been an invalid most of my life. I had to learn how to take care of myself and not depend on the sympathy of others. In short, I had to learn how not to be a victim. All my life, I was a victim. All my life was defined by my handicap. I was an invalid. My family had deserted me. The only hope I had was the generosity and sympathy of others. The more miserable I looked, the more money was in my hat. The more determined I looked to heal myself or to find healing, the less generous people were with me. So, over the course of 38 years, I guess I learned to quit trying. You know, when you hope for something, and there's so seldom an opportunity for your hope to be realized, and then the opportunity comes, and somehow you're not quick enough to grab it, you're not ready for it, someone grabs it instead of you, your hopes are dashed. There's only one thing I've discovered that is worse than living without hope. And that is living with hopes that are always dashed. After a while, the pain of disappointment gets so great that you just quit hoping. Maybe Jesus knew that that's what had happened to me. As John reported, and as this young lady so admirably read to you, I had been at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Jesus was not even 38 years old. And when I heard about the story of Jesus' life, how he was born in Bethlehem, when he was 8 days old, his mother took him to the temple to be named and to be circumcised according to our law. I am a Jew, after all. And when she was 40, when Jesus was 40 days old, Mary took him to the temple so that she could be purified of her uncleanness, having given birth to a boy. When he was 12 years old, and every year after that, which was only about 20 years ago, she and her husband took Jesus to the temple for Passover. And you know the story. They went home with their relatives. Jesus stayed behind. He was curious about the truth of God. He wanted to know more about it. He wanted his curiosity satisfied. He wanted his questions answered. He wanted to hear whether the priests at the temple felt that his insights had value. And he engaged them in conversation. And it took 3 days for his parents to find him. Three occasions. And after that third occasion, every year, three times a year, the family and Joseph would come to Jerusalem, to the temple. And you can bet every time they came to the temple, they saw me. And I saw them. I didn't know who he was. They didn't know who I was. But when Jesus came by that day and saw me laying by the pool of Bethesda, I saw him stop and look at me again. And a look of recognition came into his eyes. I think he knew. I think he said to himself, that's the same guy I've seen in that spot every year, three times a year, when my family and I would come to the festivals. When I was 12 years old, I saw him by that pool. Now, you all know the story of the pool at Bethesda. That every now and then the waters start to churn. Nobody really knew why. We figured it was an angel stirring the waters, letting those who were laying by the water know that there was power in those waters to heal for whoever could make it in. Some people thought only the first person in the pool would be healed. But I've been there. I've seen it. And I know that there have been times when two, three, four people would make it into the water. Some would be healed. Some wouldn't be healed. I tried making it into the water, and I did make it in a couple times, but I wasn't fast enough. After that, I just kind of gave up. I would make like I was trying to get in because you don't want people thinking Here's an invalid who won't even try. So I would try, but I must admit, after 30-some years, I wasn't trying as hard as I was when I was younger. And I wonder if Jesus didn't know that too. You know, when you encounter somebody like Jesus, afterwards you say to yourself, I think that man knows everything there is to know about me. Maybe you heard tell of the woman at the well that he met when he was going from Jerusalem to Galilee, and how she went back to town and told everybody, here's a man who told me everything I ever did. I felt that way. Here's a man who knows everything about me. When he said to me, he looked me right in the eyes and he said, do you want to be healed? Now, you could hear that and say, do you want to be healed? Yeah, I want to be healed, but no, that's not what I heard. What I heard was an accusation. I heard him saying, do you really want to be healed? And I have to tell you, he offended me. Someone could have told me at that moment, here's a man who could heal you, and I would have said, big deal, I don't want him giving me anything. If he feels that way, don't I want to be healed? Who would not want to be healed? But he kept looking at me. He wouldn't let me turn my eyes from him. And my anger soon turned to realization. Maybe I do like playing the victim. Maybe I do like depending on the generosity of others instead of trying with my own hands, with my own feet, as useless as they were, to make something of my own life and not be dependent on other people. Maybe I just got used to it. 38 years. Long time. And as my anger began to melt away, and Jesus kept looking at me, I didn't know what to say. So he said, as if to say, let's find out just how much you want to be healed. Jesus said, pick up your mat and walk. And where before I was offended when he said, do you want to be healed? Now I felt challenged. I felt like Jesus was giving me an opportunity, even if he knew that I had given up, even if he knew that I was so used to being an invalid, I didn't want to be healed anymore. He was giving me one chance, and the chance was all mine. I didn't have to beat anybody else into the water. I didn't have to grab hold of Jesus before somebody else did. It's just Jesus and me. Everybody else at that pool, spectator and invalid, they all just sort of dissolved into the background. It's just Jesus and me. You know, I tried to explain. I said, well, you know, I'm an invalid. How do you expect me to get into the water? And he almost shut me up with his challenge. Let's see if you really want to be healed. Pick up your mat and walk. I didn't know who this guy was at the time. He's just a schmo. A schmo, that's a good Jewish word. He's just a schmo. He's just walking up to me and offending me. I didn't know who he was, but his eyes held me. They penetrated me. And I knew he was saying to me, let's see what you're made of. You see yourself as an invalid. who has no hope of being healed. I see you as a man who God can transform. Let's see which one of us is right. Pick up your mat and walk. Fortunately, he was a patient man. Because I was laying like this on my mat, waiting for the waters to stir, watching the people stare at me, hoping some of them would be sympathetic enough to give me money to live on. And when his eyes penetrated mine and he said, "Pick up your mat," I was just angry enough at him to try. I felt in myself, I was saying, "Okay, we'll see which of us is right. You who think I don't want to be healed." No. Me, who thinks it's impossible for me to be healed. Or you, who's giving me a chance. I haven't used my legs in a long time. I haven't stood on my legs for over 30 years. The muscles in my legs were useless. But I was determined to try. And I was at least going to embarrass him by trying with all my might and proving to him that I can't be healed. So I struggled, mostly with my hands, which were still useful. I got myself on my knees. You would think he'd reach out his hand to me and give me something to hold on to. But he just stood there like this. "All right, be that way." Fortunately, one of his disciples leaned down with his hand and offered to let me use his arm as a crutch to get up. But when I got up, my legs were working. I started hopping back and forth. Like, I couldn't believe it. I felt the health surging through my legs. I felt the healing take place from my hips to my knees to my feet. Did you ever hear the story? It happened just a couple years after my healing, where two of Jesus' disciples went to the temple at prayer time, and they met someone just like me, an invalid, begging outside the temple. And Peter went over to him and he said, do you remember what he said? "I don't have any money. Silver and gold, I don't. But I do have something I'll give you." He said the same thing to that man that Jesus said to me: "Rise up and walk." Only he used the name. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. What did that man do? How long's it been since you guys were kids and sang the songs in vacation Bible school? He went walking and leaping and praising God into the temple. I'm not the only one. But I felt like it on that day. I grabbed my mat and I walked proudly away from that pool that had never given me healing. I walked away, and I didn't even know who to thank. I walked away from the pool, and the first person I bump into is a Pharisee. And he says to me, "Hey, what are you doing carrying your mat? Don't you know that's against the law?" What could I say about it? The guy told me to do it, and he healed me, so what am I going to do? If I don't listen to him, maybe he takes my healing away. Well, who was it that healed you? Well, he had me there. I had no idea who it was. I went back to the pool. I thought maybe he was still there. I tried remembering what he looked like. I couldn't forget it. The way his eyes held me for so long, I'll never forget his face. All of a sudden, I felt someone tap me on the shoulder, and I turned around, and there he was. He said, "See, now you're healed. Now keep your life free from sin or something worse might happen." And as he walked away, I heard someone in the crowd say, "That was Jesus, the guy from Nazareth. He healed that guy." And I knew who he was. So I went back to that Pharisee and I said, "I'll tell you who healed me. I'll tell you who told me to carry my mat. His name is Jesus and he's from Nazareth." And that guy got such a look on his face, I knew he had heard the name before. It's like, oh no, not that troublemaker again. Well, I have to tell you, that day changed my life. But there are still days when I get tired standing on my feet. And my legs get tired from walking, and my hands get tired from the honest labor that I've found. There are times when a voice whispers in my head, "Life was so much easier when all you did was lay by the pool and trust in the generosity of strangers." Yes. Life was easier then. Life is more challenging now. Life is full of effort. Sometimes life is full of failure. Sometimes I try and I don't succeed. But you know, there's a difference in my life now and my life then. Because now there are times when I try and I do succeed. And ever since I learned and heard the name of Jesus and connected that name with the man who healed me, from that moment on, I determined to learn as much about that man as I could. And I have never stopped. I went to his disciples. Every time I heard he was around, I tried to find where he was. He's usually talking in public. I hung on every word he said. I soon discovered there were other people who felt the same way about him. Some people, like myself, had been healed of crippling conditions they had carried with them since birth. I met a man, if you can believe this, I met a man just a year later who had been born blind. And Jesus gave him his sight. You think that wouldn't be hard to get used to? Processing all that your eyes see? We take it for granted. But what if for the first time in 40 years, first time in your life, all of a sudden your eyes are sending signals to your brain. Your brain don't know how to interpret it. It's never happened before. I met that man. We shared our encounter with Jesus. He was like me. He didn't go seeking after Jesus. I didn't go looking for Jesus. I didn't know who he was. He came for me. And you know, I have a feeling, no matter what your story, No matter what your relationship to Jesus is, I have a feeling if you look at your life, you will see that Jesus came after you. And only after he touched your life did you come to appreciate who he is. Let me tell you, if there's one piece of advice I can give you, find other people who have been touched by this man. Associate with them. Spend time with them. Welcome them into your life and into your heart. Because you and they make up a family. A family who are related because they come together under the name of Jesus Christ, their common brother. And through this Jesus, they find themselves calling God their Father. You know, there were two things that day that the Pharisees just could not accept. The first was that Jesus was able to heal me, and then he told me to pick up my mat and walk. He commanded me to break the law. But that was nothing compared to the second thing. Do you remember what she said? What they were really angry with at the end of her lesson? They were mad because Jesus called God his Father. And that made him equal to God. We call God our Father. Not because we were born into his family, but because we were reborn by the same Jesus who sought me out and who healed me when I didn't even know I could ask him to heal me. You know, there was a while when I thought about that, when I felt really guilty. I would say to myself, I didn't know who Jesus was. I didn't go looking for him. All of a sudden, there he was, and he changed my life without even touching me. Just by looking me in the eye. He found me. I have come across a lot of people. Some of them are invalids. Some of them look as healthy as any of you, but their souls are fractured. They're living without hope. And I say to myself, why did Jesus seek me and not them? Why did he heal me? And yet there are still so many broken people in the world. I really struggled with that question. Until one day I was wrestling with it so much. I really think the Spirit of Jesus was saying to me, you're starting to treat yourself as an invalid again. You're looking for an excuse not to accept the healing that I've given you. Get rid of the crutch. Let go of your questions. Or, if you need to ask a question, here is the question. Don't ask God, why me? Ask yourself, why not me? And then consider that maybe Jesus has healed you so that you can be the one to look another person in the eye with compassion and say to them in a way that they need to hear it, I believe in you. And I believe there is someone that if you would come to know him, he could change your life the way he changed my life. That's the power of this man, Jesus, who came from Nazareth. It's the power to see yourself not as a victim of your circumstance, but as a unique creation whose handicaps and challenges just give God an opportunity to demonstrate his power in your life. I'm going to leave you with these words that I pray every night before I lay down in bed. I say, Lord, you have freed me from my disability and my handicap. Now teach me to live as a free man, no longer a victim. And help me to see the limitations that I do still have as opportunities for me to encounter your Spirit anew. No more excuses in my life. Only praise. And may God bless you as God has blessed me.